What's on our heart this morning is something that I guess I preached on here maybe 4 years ago. I'd like to thank the Lord's added a little bit more to that, but through the week, all week, I'd got a thought and, raising our children in the light of the Lord. Well, I just know that's what I was going to preach on. I'd been studying on it. I was excited about it. Went to pick green beans yesterday morning. And while I was out there picking the green beans, I mean, it changed. I mean, it changed big time. And I was just like, I preached that before, Lord. And he said, don't matter.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I picked a little more. And I said, Lord, I just can't do that. I can't go and tell all that again. It don't matter.
Amen.
And I thought, all right, Lord. So for some of you, the story that I'm going to tell you've heard before, but and some of the scriptures. But like I said, I feel like the Lord's added something to it.
Amen.
And in our studies along the way.
Amen.
Our thought is going to be unity, oneness.
Amen.
That's what Webster's, if you look up unity, it's oneness. The Strong's, and where we're going to read it from, that's your definition. Sometimes when we're talking about being one, it's talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're one.
Yeah.
God and His children are one. Jesus and His bride is one.
Amen.
Me and you are supposed to be one.
Amen.
We're supposed to be a one body.
Amen.
And we're supposed to be of His body.
Amen.
Now, every one of us has got different jobs in that body, but we're supposed to be one. And it's very, very important that we be that one. And God is what bonds us together. Without God and the love of God, and that's what God is love. When we talk about love, everybody says, and it is, it's the hardest thing you'll ever describe, and the reason you can't describe it, because that's what God is. And it ain't no way we can describe Almighty God. I just can't do that. So we're going to read everything we read will be very familiar to you. And I've got it. I'm going to throw it out there. Y'all remember, Larry says it's my magic string. Most of y'all remember the story. Not everybody was here. There's a lot of people have come since then. It's been about 4 years ago. We had a maple tree down there at the pond. And I took Jason's dozer and I built my dam up higher. The water raised in the pond. It got up to the bottom of that maple tree and it killed it. And it began to, you could see the limbs getting weaker in it. And I told Sheila, I said, I've got to cut that maple tree. The kids go down there and fish. The grandkids go down there. And I said, there's going to be a limb fall out there and kill one of them. And I said, I can't live with myself. I got to get rid of that tree. And it was going to be dangerous to cut. And she was scared to death. And I'll be honest, I wasn't too thrilled about it myself. But I had to do it. If somebody was going to die because of that tree over what I done, I'd rather it been me as my grandbabies. So I go down there and I cut the tree. And it falls, and it falls over in the pond, just a big old splash. It's a big tree. The bottom of it's probably this big. I go up there and get this string. That's what I lay my garden out with, the rose with. I lay my rose out with it, and I get the string, and Sheila said, what are you going to do with that string? I said, I'm going to pull that tree over there, and then I'm going to pull it out with a chain in the truck. And she said, you're going to pull that tree with that string. I said, yes, ma'am, I'm going to take a string. I'm going to pull that tree over. And she said, you have lost your mind. Well, I went down there and I tied a rock to that string. I throwed it out there and it wrapped around two or three limbs, or around a limb, does that number. I grab her and I start easing her. And here she comes. And I ease it right on over there. It's just a float. And I just pull it right over to the edge. I hook my chain to it. I hook my truck to it. Put it in four-wheel drive. Pull it up a little bit. I start cutting it. Pull up board. I get that tree out of the pond. And she just looked at me like I was crazy. But the Lord laid something on my heart in that, and I preached on it here.
Amen.
That how he can take something so small and move so much with it. And I've tried to study on this through the years, and I've preached on it different places in revivals, tried to encourage people to love one another, to love God and come closer to God. Together with one another. And when I was picking those green beans yesterday, and he said, y'all need to hear that.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, I preached on that 4 or 5 years ago. And he said, you need to preach on this. He said, y'all need it. And I'll be honest, we do.
Amen.
I'll be honest, we're not as close as we once was. We're not as one as we once was. There was a time, this body of people here, there was so much love here among us that lost people would come in here and they would tremble. There was power in this church, and it still is. We had a great revival, the last revival. I'm not saying we've gone away, but we need to be closer to God. We need to have the power from God. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 4. And it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. That means, forbearing means putting up with one another. That's what it says. If you'll look it up, it says, put up. I mean, honey, sometimes you just have to put up with one another. If you're in a marriage, Sheila has had to put up with a bunch. I'll be honest with you. I'm telling the truth. I put up with a little. But she has tolerated a bunch. And I want you to know, us as God's people have to forbear or put up with a little bit every now and then. But listen, it says in the third verse is where our thought starts coming from, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called into one hope and of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And how but our thought comes there in the third verse, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit, I've done mentioned, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. God and His children should be one. I believe we are one. I believe Christ and His bride is one. And I believe, oh, my spirit bears witness with His that we are the children of God. But I also believe that my spirit bears witness with Donna's spirit. When God moves about her, I can feel the Lord in that. When she testifies, when Michael preached this morning on the radio, my spirit bears witness with His spirit. As he preached on the radio, the spirit moved there, and I can feel something in that. I want you to realize today how we should be one in the Spirit. And today, I don't think we're always as close as we should be, but there's power in the Spirit, and there's power in God, and there's power in God's people when we become as one. Over in the 133rd division of the Psalms, I want to go over there, and that's where we're going to take our text. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for for brother to dwell together in unity. It is like, what is it like? The precious ointment that upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down into the skirts and the garments, as the dew in Hermon, and the dew descended upon the mountains of Zion. For thee, there the Lord shall command his blessing, even life everlasting. Listen to me. When it's talking about the oil, it's talking about the Spirit. When we come together in the Spirit of God and unity, when we come together as one, and God being in the middle of it, we have power. God's people have power. Our churches would have power again if we would love one another like we should. If we had oneness together like we should, we'd have power again. There'd be power in the preaching again. There'd be power in the singing again. There'd be power in the testimonies again. If we just love one another like we should, our lost children and grandchildren would get saved. Our neighbors would get. He said that's where he commanded his blessing, even the blessing of everlasting life. It's all in unity. It's in oneness with God. When he prayed in the garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to Father. He said, let them be one. Let them be as one even as we are one. Let them love one another, Father, even as I love you. Let them be one like we are one. It's his desire for us to love one another. It's his desire for us to bond together. Over Colossians 2:1, it says that our hearts be knitted together in love. I want you to realize today, when we are knitted together in love, there's hardly nothing can tear it apart. Peter talked about we're lively stones built upon a foundation, and Jesus Christ being a cornerstone. When I was a boy, my uncle I.T. Cook, Annette's dad, built a store building up there, Rocky Mountain. He hired me to come, and I was the mud man and the block man, and boy, that was the wrong job. It was about five of them laying blocks and me mixing mud and packing to them. And back in, you didn't throw it over in a mixer. You put it in a wheelbarrow, and you took a hole, and you were as hard as you could go. They was yelling, mud! Blocks, mud, blocks. I want you to know they run me to death. But that blood, that mud is what holds the blocks together. And I want you to know love and God is what holds those stones that's laid on that foundation together. That is where our strength comes from. And I want you to know there should be there, and that should be about us. There should be something that holds us together, and that is the love of God. And when we got that, and he's in the midst of us, I just don't really believe there's nothing we can't do. You may not believe that, Larry, and talk about Joshua praying the Lord stopped the sun, and he did. Amen. There's power with God. God is all powerful. There ain't nothing he can't do. Amen. I believe we've lost some of that. I believe we've lost a lot of the faith and believing what he can do. Amen. I believe we've lost some faith that we have in our brothers and sisters, what we can do with God in the midst of us. There was a king, Nebuchadnezzar. He built a great golden image, and he told them every time you hear the music play, the flutes and all the instruments, he said, everybody shall bow down to this golden image. And there was three men, three little Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would not bow. They would not bow to, and the king told them, you're going to die in the fiery furnace. You'll not bow. And they said, nevertheless, king, we die or not. We're not going to bow. You know, they throwed them in the fire. And guess who the king saw in the midst of? The Son of God walking in the midst of them. Where two or three gather in my name, I will be in the midst of them. He said, you will get strength from me if you'll hang on to one another, if you'll love one another like you should. There's strength in God.
Amen.
So that's where our strength comes from. It comes from love. And that love is God. I used this one last time. I'm going to use it this time because it's good and it's right. It's true. And he said, use it. I'll use it till I fall over.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Jesus sent them out two by two. You know why he done that, brother?
Amen.
You want to know why? When I fail, or when I fall, when Peter failed, there would be somebody there with him to help him back up.
That's right.
You're going to fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to fall. And we're going to need somebody with us to help us. If there's nobody to help you up, what are you going to do? That you may think, well, Brother Jeff, we don't need you. I don't need you. You may believe that. But I'll tell you this, I need you. I need you to help me along the way. When I get so cold and indifferent, and I ain't felt the Lord in weeks, I need somebody to come along and love on me and hug me and tell me it's going to be all right and help me along the way. When I fall flat on my face, I need somebody to call me on Monday morning and encourage me and tell me they love me and to get back up and continue to fight. We need each other. We need God. He said, talked about two, how two was better than one. But then he said a threefold cord is not easily broken. I don't know if y'all can see it. My little cord is a threefold cord. When we marry couples, a lot of times they'll take three strings and hang them up. They'll take one in the middle. There's a point of that. You ever seen them do the sand? They'll mix the sand together. That's making the mortar. Making it strong. For the string, they'll take that string and the bride will go over here and she'll start wrapping it. The groom, he'll start rapping, and they'll wrap that around that middle cord. And what that shows is the bride and the groom and God right in the middle.
Amen.
And when we get entangled and wrapped around him and that love, it's just not easy, bro. We've got where we don't think we need each other no more. I'm just being honest with you. Our communities don't need their neighbors. Do you know who your neighbors are? You know, I could, when I was a boy, I could go from my house, which is 7 miles, to the end of Rocky Mountain Road and the 52 out yonder, and I could tell you everybody that lived in every house. And the most of them I'd sit at their table because I'd win and I'd work and labor them in the backer patch. I'd throw hay in a bowl, lost of a barn. I'd sat down with them and I'd send the blessing at their table. I knew who they was. I'd worked with them. I loved them. I knew them. There was a bond there. There was a closeness there. I want you to realize our churches used to, everybody spent time together. They didn't come in and hear a little preaching and run out the door and go home or go to eat and go to the ball game or whatever. Used to, people love one another. They spent time together. There was a bond there. They was one. I'm going to tell you one that's going to hurt some of his feelings. Used to families sit down at a table together. And nobody picked up a phone. They sit there and they talked about their day. They talked about all the things that happened. There was a love in their homes. There was a closeness there. And somehow or another we've lost that. And then we wonder why we don't have power. We wonder why we don't have strength. We don't think we need each other. And to be honest, we most people don't think they need God anymore. You're going to have to tolerate some things going along. Most people now in a marriage, first thing they do, something goes a little wrong, first thing they do, they go looking for a divorce lawyer. Still looking for reconciliation, they're looking for separation. We have a little problem come up in church, instead of trying to work it out with one another, we all go different directions. We go join somewhere else. We don't take time to meet our neighbors. A house divided against itself cannot stand. First Corinthians Chapter 12, it talks about us being that body. We are the body of Christ, his members in particular. It tells us that some are the eye, some are the ear. Nobody's better than nobody else, but everybody's a part of that body. And then he goes right from that into the 13th chapter, what we call the love chapter. And he talks about charity. And at the end of that chapter, he said these three things abide: hope, faith, and charity. And charity was stronger than any of these things. It's greater than anything. And I wondered about that for a long time because I thought faith, without faith we can't even please God. But God is charity.
Amen.
Charity is love.
Amen.
So he's the greatest of all things. And I'll finish where I finished the last time. Over in Matthew, there was one that they couldn't cast the spirit out of, and they come to the Lord and asked him, why can't we do this? And he told them, he said, it's your faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could cast away this mountain. And that's what got me on this to start with a few years ago. My little string. A mustard seed ain't no bigger than nothing. But we have faith. that size can move a mountain. And if love is greater than faith, I begin to wonder what we can move with love. A tree that big. That tree probably weighed 3,000 pounds. What could we do if we really loved each other, Brother Troy? If me and you was tied together in the middle of that with God, and our hearts was truly knitted together in love, if we really loved each other like we should. What can we do? What can God take me and you and move? Am I crazy? That's what my wife said. You have lost your mind. Right now you're saying, preacher, you've lost it. You think we can change the world? Amen! I said God can. I want you to know a lost and dying world can be saved by grace. If we would just come together and love one another like we're supposed to. If we'd be lively stones and Jesus Christ our cornerstone, joined together in love. Just like a marriage. Oneness. Unity. Is where he commands his blessings. That's where it's at. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Amen. Amen. That's my thought. Amen. I pray somebody got something out of it. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I heard most of it before. Okay. 4 years from now, you might get to hear it again. Amen. The message is not changed. What's changed is us. You know, when I first preached that, what was going on? We was in COVID. Part of you was still sitting outside. Part of you had come inside. We didn't know. We was losing our loved ones. We was losing friends. We was losing people among us. We didn't know what was going to happen. All we know, we needed God and we needed one another. Yeah. We knew that so strong. It's not changed. Yeah. COVID may not be as bad now, but we still need God and we still need one another. Yeah. So you'll say, I don't need you, Brother Jeff. Okay then. You can make it without me. Can you make it without God? Amen. I want to tell you, I can't make it without either one of you. Amen. I need you to help me. I need you to encourage me. I need you when I get cold to warm me up. I need you when I fall to pick me up. Amen. Amen. I need you. And whether you want to believe it or not, you need me too. Because we are his body. The little toe is no more important than the eye. It's no more important than the bicep. We need one another. I'm done. Because y'all got a song. We'll have a handshake if you want to shake hands. I pray it helps somebody.